Well, good morning again. There's some life. we're in a message series right now called Living on Life Support, looking at those things that get us through this Christian life, that there are lines that are extended to us to support us in this life, to help us to grow and mature, to help us to get through those very difficult times, and even to celebrate with us in the best of times. And we used a metaphor last week of someone who's on life support in the hospital and those different lifelines that keep them going. So each week we're coming back looking at a way to get support, looking at a different lifeline that helps us in life. Last week we talked about a very important thing. We talked about using the Bible as your owner's manual. And I'm telling you, friends, that is just a huge, huge lifeline today, particularly in a day where the Bible and the way of the Bible is challenged. If we're not rooted in the Bible, we're going to get swept from under our feet with beliefs of the day that will seem more real than what really is real. So it's huge to be connected to that lifeline of the Bible. This week, we're going to look at lifeline number two. And I think for many, you might be a little bit surprised at first when you hear the direction that we're going, because it's kind of a little more unconventional than maybe some of the other lifelines we'll be looking at in this series, because it's unconventional because today's lifeline has to do with your problems and my problems. You see, God wants to use our problems to equip us in life. And some people think that when we've got problems going on, then that must mean that God's mad at us or that God has forgotten us. Some think that problems happen because we must just be out of God's will. And sometimes we are walking out of God's will. And that does lead to trouble and problems in our lives. But problems sometimes just come in life, even if you're walking right smack dab in the center of God's will. They happen. But friends, the lifeline that we're going to be talking about today that comes in our problems, that will support us in these times, is finding God's purpose in the problem. When we can connect to God's purpose in the problem, that extends a lifeline to us to get us through. It's not saying that God's caused all the problems that we're having. It's saying that he'll use them for a greater purpose. And yet there are in some ways that God does place problems in our path in order to help us do something to bring greater purpose in our life, like he did with Jonah. You know the story of Jonah. Jonah was swallowed by a great big fish. It was a problem that God placed Jonah into to get him moving in the right direction. It was a course correction for him. When God toppled the Tower of Babel, it was a necessary problem to put the people in to give them their proper place. Our question today isn't going to be whether God causes the problems or doesn't cause the problems. That's really not important for what we're talking about today and what we're dealing with. With what we're dealing with, our question is going to rest around what's God's purpose in the problems, regardless of where the problems originate. So let's pray and let's prepare and ask God to speak to us in the midst of our troubles and our problems. God, we love you. There is a purpose in everything in life, and I think when we can get a hold of that concept, realize that things don't just happen out of happenstance, but there is purpose in every part of our life. When we first connect to that, we can learn from you that even in our troubles, even in our problems, we can find a greater purpose. And when we do, that connects us to a lifeline to you that helps us get through it, to learn what it's about, to end up on the other side of it. So God, just speak to us in the midst of whatever problems we have going on today, which in the size of the group in this room, that means there are many problems and many troubles. And so God, speak to us in the midst of those today to bring us life, a real lifeline. God, lead us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's begin, friends, by looking at two verses from 1 Peter chapter 4. And let me just say first that in this chapter, Peter's talking to Christians about suffering for the sake of Christ. Trials because they're participating in a walk with Jesus that they're having. So troubles in that midst. So that debunks some of these other lines right off the bat, that even when we walk with Jesus, we face problems. So let's look first at verse 12 in 1 Peter chapter 4, where it says this. It says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Do not be surprised. And now let's drop down to verse 19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. I want to draw your attention to one line here in these passages. It says, suffering according to God's will. Suffering according to God's will. It shows us that some problems come along even right when we're in the midst of God's will. But listen, God's purpose is greater than your problems, no matter what you're going through. Now, that's not to downgrade the very difficult times that you may be facing or sometimes face in life, to say that there aren't some problems that never make sense the sight of heaven. There are some problems like that. But it is to say that God has a greater purpose in all of it. And we can find purpose in our problems, friends. We're going to talk about five ways that God uses our problems as lifelines. Five ways. The first is this: God uses problems to direct me. To direct me. God often uses problems to point us in a new direction, to motivate us to change. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30 says, sometimes it takes painful experiences to make us change our ways. Sometimes it takes painful experiences to make us change our ways. Friends, let's face it. Sometimes things need to get uneasy, need to get uncomfortable before we can change our ways. Often we don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat, right? And sometimes we got to light a fire. God's got to light a fire under us to get us to move. One time Elijah was living by this beautiful brook and God was providing all his needs. Then it says one day that brook dried up. Elijah got upset and said, God, what are you doing? The brook dried up. And God said, because I don't want you by the brook anymore. Sometimes things dry up in your life because God wants to move you. We talked about Jonah a few moments ago. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was to the east, but Jonah got on a ship going to Tarshish, which was as far west as you can go, to the seaport of the coast of Spain. God had to redirect him. He gave him a little Mediterranean cruise. He just didn't have the best seat. He couldn't see much from his vantage point. The great fish swallowed him up and then spit him out and turned him around to now be heading in the right direction. And sometimes, friends, sometimes our problems will swallow you up, right? Sometimes they swallow you up. Do you know what I mean? You feel enclosed in that problem. You feel overwhelmed by that problem, but then it spits you out into a new place because, friends, problems never leave you where they find you. They never leave you where they find you. The truth is that we'd rarely change in life if we didn't face some problems. I mean, let's face it. We tend to be a people who like to be comfortable. And once we get comfortable, we don't want to move again until we get uncomfortable. We'd like to postpone many difficulties, decisions, ignore illness. If we never felt bad enough, we would just let it go. About 13 years ago, my dad had quadruple bypass heart surgery. But friends, before he had surgery, he spent a whole summer with symptoms without telling anyone, not even his family or his doctor, about what was going on and not getting checked out. We learned that when he was mowing the lawn, he would do one swipe of the lawn and stop and take a breath, then mow the other swipe and stop and take a breath, and did that all summer long. And then when he was feeling pressure in his chest, he power washed his deck and restained it. He's an idiot, isn't he? He finally went to the doctor, and the next day he was having quadruple bypass heart surgery. And it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But you and I do it every day until we get uncomfortable enough to finally move, right? Paul's writing to the people in Corinth. And in a previous letter, he must have offended them because he starts off by saying this in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9. He says, now I am glad I sent it, meaning his letter. And maybe I ticked you off, but I'm glad about that. I'm glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and to change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have, so you were not harmed by us in any way. If you want to find purpose in your problems, the first question we need to ask is when we're going through the problems is this: where is this problem leading me? Where is it leading me? A problem never leaves you where it finds you. Here's the second way that God uses my problems for purpose as a lifeline. Second is this: God uses problems to inspect me. To inspect me. What we're saying by that is that God uses problems to test us, to check what's really going on the inside. Not that God needs to read us for our hearts for his own sake. He already knows what's going on in your heart. The tests are for you and for me because they help to reveal to us what's true. And when we look at what's true in the mirror of our problems, it throws down this challenge of our faithfulness and belief in God and his purposes. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert for 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." The Israelites spent 40 years in the desert because they couldn't pass the test. 40 years. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." Now notice here that it doesn't say in this passage, if you face trials. It says whenever you face trials. Problems are going to happen. They'll come unpredictably, and they'll come in much variety, but they will happen. So here's the second question that we need to ask to find purpose in our problems. The question is this: what do these problems reveal about me and to me? What do they reveal about me and to me? Here's the third way God uses problems as a lifeline. God uses problems to correct me. Listen, life's a school. Life's a school, and problems are just part of the curriculum. David says in Psalm 119, verse 71, "It was good for me." What? "It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees." We learn more through our suffering than we do through our success. When you were a little child, how many of you were taught not to put your hand on a hot stove? How many of you did it anyway? I didn't do it anyway, but my sister did do it, and you know what? And she learned something. One, she learned never to touch a hot stove again, but she also learned to stop sucking her fingers because she got blisters on her fingers, and they hurt when she put them in her mouth. She learned by being burned, and that's a principle of life. Sometimes we learn by being burned. God uses those problems to correct us. Often we learn the value of something by losing it. We learn the value of money by going bankrupt. We learn the value of a friendship by losing it. We learn the value of a loved one by a breakup or a loss. And why is it that way sometimes? I don't know. I guess because we're just so stinking stubborn. I know that I am. Sometimes God has to use problems to correct us and to teach us lessons that we're not going to learn any other way. I like the way that the Living Bible paraphrase puts Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. It says this, it says, "Let God train you, for he is doing what any loving father does for his children. Whoever heard of a son who was never corrected?" Friends, discipline's a proof that you're really God's child. I don't discipline my neighbor's kids because they're not my kids. But I'll discipline my kids because I love them. That's my motive. I want them to be on the right path. That's proof that they're in my family. If they do something wrong, I'm going to discipline them. And God says, you can know that you're really a believer, a member of the family of God, because I correct you. If God didn't correct you, he wouldn't really love you. His love is his motive. So the third question to ask in your problems to bring purpose is this: what's the problem teaching me? What course correction is it bringing to my life? What course correction? Number four, the way that God uses problems as a lifeline is this: God uses problems to protect me. Sometimes a problem is actually a blessing in disguise. Sometimes it's preventing you from getting involved in something that's much more harmful. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good if it is what God wants than for doing wrong. Now that verse is telling us that it's safer to do what's right and honest and suffer than to compromise your integrity and not suffer, because the suffering now will be far better than the suffering you would eventually face for doing what's wrong. Sometimes God uses a problem to protect us from a greater problem. God's working in your life when you don't understand it, even when you don't understand it. And the classic example of this comes from the Old Testament story of Joseph. He had 11 brothers who hated him because, let's just face it, he was favored by his father. He's known for his colorful coat. The father gave him this colorful coat, and he gave his brothers nothing. And one day, the 11 brothers decided they'd gang up on their younger brother, and they sold him into slavery. Then they told their dad that he'd been eaten by some wild animal, and they even provided his colorful coat, now colored with the blood of a goat's blood, as evidence. And now that's, friends, that's what I call a dysfunctional family, right? Pretty dysfunctional. The first 40 years of Joseph's life were problematic. He was sold into slavery. He was taken to a foreign country, Egypt. He was sold to an owner whose wife tries to seduce him and cries rape when he refuses to participate. When all Joseph was doing was trying to honor God and honor his owner, he was suffering while making right choices. But in the midst of the suffering, he was walking, friends, in the will of God. Unbeknownst to Joseph, God was positioning him to be Israel's second in command in Egypt, to be Egypt's second in command, pardon me, second only to Pharaoh. And once in that position, Joseph came up with a plan to stockpile grain for 7 years and saved Egypt from a huge famine. And all the countries in the Middle East had to come to Egypt for grain. Even his own brothers, who ultimately would be forced to be face to face with him, had to come for grain. And Joseph, you know what? He could have had them beheaded. But listen to what he says instead. It is such a lesson for us. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, listen to these words. He says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." You intended it to harm me, but God intended it for good. Sometimes what's happening to us, we think is for harm, and God says, no, I'm going to use that for good. I have a different intention. Listen, you're going to be hurt in life. You can count on it. It's going to happen. People are going to hurt you. Some are going to do it intentionally in your lifetime. They will intend it for bad, but God intends it for good. He'll turn it around and he'll bring good out of it if you respond in the right way and if you'll trust him when you're going through your problems. So the fourth question to ask is this: how is this problem protecting me? What is being prevented through this problem that I'm facing? Now here's the fifth way God uses problems as a lifeline. Number five, God uses problems to perfect me. God uses problems that mold us, that make us, that shape us into the persons that he wants us to be. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, it says, "We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation." God uses things to build character in our lives. We're like diamonds in the rough, so God comes along with, uses these problems like a chisel, chiseling away, or a hammer, or a jackhammer, or maybe sometimes an atomic bomb to blast away the things, to get the rough parts away, to mold us and shape us into the diamond that is like Jesus. God's number one purpose in your and my life is to make us like Jesus. His goal isn't to make you comfortable. It's to make you into the character of Jesus in your life. Part of the way that he builds our character is through our problems. Perhaps it's the biggest way that he does it. Think of the people that you know who exude the best character. Think about some of those people in your mind. What have been the circumstances of their lives leading up to that character? In most cases, their lives haven't been all a joyride. It's been a rough and tumble life that's shaped them into who they are today, that character in them. Friends, maturity and character, they don't come easily. Avoiding or skirting problems won't get you character. Revenge or payback won't get you character. Only walking through the problem as faithful to God as you can be will get you there. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. You walk through the problem as faithful to God as you can be, and God will build character in your life. Here's the fifth question for your problems to find purpose. How can I grow from this problem? How can I grow from this problem? Since we know that problems are inevitable, and we know that although God doesn't cause necessarily all of our problems, and they'll actually profit us as lifelines, let's take a few moments to talk about how we should respond to our problems when they do come. And the first response is this: to respond to your problems, rejoice. Rejoice. Now, I know that sounds crazy. To rejoice in your problems. We know that we rejoice. We know that, God's going to use our problems to better us if we let him, so rejoice in them. Remember again what James says in James chapter 1, verse 2. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, don't misunderstand what James is saying. He's not saying to fake it. He's not saying put on some fake plastic smile, act like everything's great when everybody else knows far better than that. God never asks you to deny reality. This isn't some sort of psychological pump you up based on nothing. He's also not telling you to become some sort of martyr complex where you say, I must suffer. I shall take the bullet for the greater cause of the others. It's not what he's saying to do. No, we don't rejoice for the problem. I'm so happy I'm out of work right now. I'm so happy I'm sick. I'm so happy that I'm broken. Who would do that? He says to rejoice in the problem. You don't thank God for the situation. Why would I thank God for something bad, but I thank God in the situation? One often misunderstood verse in the Bible is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, which says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you want to have a lifetime, a lifeline in your problems, then give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say to give thanks for all circumstances. Why would I want to thank God for leukemia, or for an accident, or for war, or for the loss of a parent or a child? No. What kind of God do you think he is? It says, in everything, give thanks. Why? It means that we can thank God because we know that he can even take the bad things that happen in our lives and turn them around to bring something good out of them. It's truly okay to admit that this situation right now, it really stinks. This is an awful situation. I would much rather not be in this situation, but I find joy to know that God's hand hasn't left go of mine and that he's going to take me through this and do more from this than I could ever imagine that he could do. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. Now look, I'm not suggesting that problems aren't hard and that they don't sometimes devastate us, but praise God he's going to go through it with me. Praise God that his mercies are new every morning and that he will be my strength to get me through. Praise God for the lifeline of rejoicing. It is your choice to rejoice. Have you ever been around someone who's going through what seems to be a really difficult circumstance or situation, more difficult than you can imagine, and yet they're cheery and they're so positive? I've been around people like that, people facing cancer or some great loss, and it's amazing to me how these people can grab a hold of this lifeline. It's not that they have no struggles or difficulty or even pain. It's just that they're making the choice to rejoice that God's going to get them through. Here's a second response to my problems. It's request. Request. Respond by praying. Don't respond by griping or by complaining or doing the, oh, woe is me act. All of our times we should be praying, and we pray when we have problems. Now, don't misunderstand me. When you're having problems, it shouldn't be the only time that you pray. I mean, that's insulting to God. He wants to talk to you in the, he wants you to talk to him in the good and the bad and the ugly. But his word also tells us to specifically pray to him when we need help. It says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault, and it will be given to him. You ought to pray for wisdom when you're in the middle of problems. Why pray for wisdom? Because you don't want to miss the opportunity to grow. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. Pray for wisdom to understand the problem. Bring your request before God. You see, the prayer that we're talking about here is not the prayer of asking why, God, why is this happening? It's the prayer of asking what. God, what do you want me to learn from this? What do you want to teach me in this problem? What characteristics do you want to develop in me through what I'm going through right now? And then here's the third response to our problems, is to relax. Now, I know that doesn't sound easy to do, but friends, trust God to know what's best for your life. There is so much freedom in doing that. Cooperate with the purpose that God's producing in your problem so that you don't shortcut the process. That's called faith. And it's talked about in James chapter 1, verse 6. It's a continuation of verse 5 that we just read. And verse 6 says, but when he asks, he must believe without doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Relax. Let God work. Some of you are going through some tough times right now. It's pretty hard. The lifeline in your problem is that God has a purpose for it. It may be unknown to you, but it's not unknown to him. He cares about you very much. He has the hairs on your head numbered. He knows exactly where you are. He hasn't lost track of your situation. God has the power to do something about your problem. He could change it in a snap. He is a miracle-working God. So why doesn't he? Because there's a greater purpose. The greater purpose is what he wants to do in you. And the purpose is greater than your pain. The character that God's building in you is more important than your comfort right now. And once you learn those qualities, he may resolve such a situation. Yet there are some things in life that are never going to be free of this side of heaven. Paul calls that a thorn in your side. And God tells him, I will give you the grace that's sufficient to get you through, even if you carry that thorn in your side through your whole life. So relax in the midst of your problem and trust God. Now, I want you to do something with me as we conclude this morning. I want you to think about a problem that you're facing right now. Bring it to your mind. Bring a real life problem that's in your life right now to your mind. I want you to take it from your mind. I want you just to hold it in your hand in front of you. Hold that problem in front of you, and then what I want to do is I want to ask the questions that I've been asking this morning again as you think about that actual problem. Relate these questions to your problem, and if God gives you answers this morning as we ask these questions, you write those down on your bulletin, all right? You write those down for you. So with that problem in mind, ask yourself first, Lord, are you using this problem to direct me? Are you using this to direct me? If so, what do you want me to change? Do you want to send me in a new direction? Now, still with that problem in mind, here's the second question. Lord, are you using this problem to inspect me? What does it reveal about my life? A weakness? A misplaced priority? Have I made a compromise? If you really make a commitment of your life to God, friends, he's going to test you. Third, still with that problem in mind, Lord, are you using this problem to correct me? Maybe I brought this problem on myself and I'm reaping what I've sown. Okay, maybe you haven't brought it on yourself. What do you want me to learn from this, God, from this problem I'm facing? Fourth, with your problem in mind, Lord, are you using this problem to protect me? You're my heavenly Father, and you know what's best. So if this problem is keeping me out of something else, I'll embrace it. And then number five, Lord, are you using this problem to perfect me? Is this about my character development, God? I don't like it very much. But okay, let's go through it. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to relax. And I'm going to let you take it. Friends, God's at work in your life even when you don't recognize it, even if you don't understand it. Regardless of what you're going through right now, know these things. God sees the problem. He knows about it, and it's no surprise to him. God cares about your problem. He's got the power to change it, but he may want to change you first. He's more interested in your character than he is your comfort. Let's pray together. God, as we've envisioned a problem in our hand right now, we are coming to you in trust that you are working behind the scenes. Sometimes that you're working right in front of us and we're not even aware. God, we trust that you have our front, our back, our side, our up, and our down. We want to just relax in you in the midst of this problem and allow you to work. If you're doing something to our character, then shape us and form us. If you're trying to make us someone better than we are, make us more like Jesus, then we want to do that. If you're trying to show us a course correction we need to make, then God, show us so that we will change our course and begin to go a different way. We're tired of living in the belly of a fish. So take us where you want us to go. God, do what you need to do in these problems. Help us to find the purpose and let that be a lifeline to us. And so now as we have those problems in hand, we lift the hand to you, God, and we say, here it is. I'm surrendering the problem to you, Jesus. You take it from me. You do what you need to do and allow me to receive from you the benefit of being a son or daughter of God. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, I'm not a doctor, obviously, and have not been in the medical world, but I have been taught at one time or another that if you break a bone, the place where it heals becomes stronger than the bone was before, than any other place in that bone. So that if you break your arm here and it heals, if it breaks again, it's likely going to be somewhere else because that's now the strongest part of the bone. And that's what God does for us. In our problems. And he'll often use things in life like that as a metaphor. He created us in a certain way. It all goes together in his message about us. But when you go through the hard times, when it doesn't leave you where it finds you and you get to that other place, you're now stronger than you were before you went through it. You're now in a stronger place to deal with what comes next in life. And if something hits you in that same way, hey, I've been through that. I'm stronger there. I know how to take that on. If it hits you in a different way, you're stronger because of what you went through. So God, it has a purpose in all that he's doing. He's holding on to us. We hold on to him. And he takes us through. Let's go in the name of Jesus and trust him.